Hey everyone, today's episode is one of the most frequently asked questions I receive, and it's about partnerships. How do I find the right partner? How do I pay attention to wanting the right partner? How do I put my attention and intention into creating the coincidence that creates the partnerships that I need? I'm also going to tell you about my coincidence, how I created and attracted one of my closest partnerships right now on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Is there different areas of a partnership that make a good partnership? So is it the audience? Is it the money financing?
Great question. So, I really try to simplify things. And Mike is actually one of my partners. And we just had this conversation yesterday about values. And I think decision-making and partnership are hand-in-hand when you understand a daily inventory of your own values. And when I say that is I do this daily inventory, accepting the fact that my values change, that I'll take the risk or illuminate that I'm a hypocrite, right? That I evolve. You know, I would hate to run for office because you could pull up shit from 20 years ago and say, oh, you said this. I think that's the most ridiculous thing ever, that you could take, you know, a billionaire statement from 20 years ago and say, oh, that's who you are today. Because for me, I have a daily inventory of my personal values, my experiential values, my giving values and receiving values. And I think that's the best way to be happy in a day, is not to try to fit a round peg into a square hole. Look, this is my day. I'm flying to New York. I have to, you know, make sure my health is right. So I got to get to the airport and get in here and make sure and all these things. But it's all on my values, which today could not be the same as this weekend that was a holiday weekend. But I couldn't imagine to have the same balanced values. Well, in partnerships, we're not asking the series of questions enough of how we can be of service or value to a partner and how they can be of service or value to us. And I say a series of questions. It's not just surface bullshit, hey, how can I help you? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about really like, you know, what do you like about this? And then, you know, there's like a dating period of a crawl before you walk, before we run. And, you know, I do that with everything. Employees. So if your values are aligned, partnership will work. Because you don't, everybody's working on the same side, and if you're communicating those values, if they're not, every time I try to do business or partnership with someone that doesn't have the same values, like something's just a value that I know is not mine, it never works out. Sooner or later, the truth comes out, and there's a huge separation, void, obstacle, frustration, and I end up in a negative situation. And so I would really hone in every day on your values for a lot of different reasons, but one is partnership. And when I also, in that is not just subjective value. So one of the differences in a partnership is, you know, Mike's nicknamed me the ferocious Buddha, because the Buddha side of me is all subjective value of, you know, making sure everybody's not an ego-based consciousness, that we're all calm and present and in center. But the ferocious side of me is I'm totally a quantitative person, right? If we're not aligned quantitatively, I'll say to anyone, and they may think, you know, and I do, I separate personal relationships with business. My business relationships are quantitative. Okay, so you want this value, then you need to provide more value than you're taking. And if somebody's economically not bringing it to the table, it's not being abundant, it's explaining to them, this isn't healthy for either of us. There's a shortage here. So I do that even in my executive coaching, right? That's guarantee. I tell people, you want to do business, guarantee everything, work month to month, and guarantee that you'll provide more value quantitatively, and you'll never have a problem in business, right? Because I cannot mismanage your expectations. Anyone that does business, it doesn't matter if it's an executive coaching deal or literally very large opportunities, I'd rather not paper deals, because I'd rather just give you your money back, but in segments of 30 days. So like I had a coaching client having personal difficulties. So they came to me, hi Gemma. And they came to me and they're like, oh, well, you guarantee value. Now I've made them a ton of money every single month, but this last month they had personal circumstances and they just couldn't afford it. So I said, not a problem. I'll refund you last month. You need, and they're like, well, can you refund all the months? I was like, I couldn't do business that way. right? I appreciate that you need money, but I cannot do, and I would have never have said that. In the past, the Buddha side of me would have been like, oh, you know, just write the check. It doesn't, well, it does mean something to me. And it's not the money. It's, I've made a plan, an agreement with somebody every month. If you're completely satisfied quantitatively, then let me know and you're going to pay me. And I'll guarantee month to month where we go. But there's fairness involved. There's values involved. And I think we make really big mistakes not being able to receive that way. And the funny thing was, I thought the person would get mad at me and call me a hypocrite. That was my ego fear. Like, oh, he's full of shit, right? Dave Meltzer puts all these videos that, no, you know what? I don't think I'm full of shit, because that's exactly what I teach people. And I'm living to my word as well. So, you know, being the ferocious Buddha is a really good position to be in business. And it all possible, guaranteeing what you do, that you're going to provide more value than they'll receive, is a great way to go. And shortening the length of time, not locking people into circumstances, because things change. You know, and they really do.
Question is, you mentioned finding people who align with your values. How do you go about finding someone or showing the value to that person?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't force people in that context to do business with me or to find a partner. What I do is pay attention to what I want. So if I'm an accountant and I have this creative idea that is a side hustle, as some people would say in entrepreneurship, what I do is focus on efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success of being an accountant. That means either do things quicker or for twice as much money. Like, those are goals that I have, right? As quickly as I can. But I also am paying attention to what I want in a partner. So I'm starting to look in and see, okay, here's things that I don't do well, or I don't have time to do, or I need. And I put attention and intention into it and allow that person to come into my life. Right? This is an exact example of attention plus intention equals coincidences. And you never know where these partners are. You know, Michael, I was speaking at the New York Business Expo, keynoting that. He wasn't supposed to be there. He walked in, heard me speak, came up and said, I need you as a business coach. I said, all right, I'll do it. Here's my deal, you know, month to month. I'll do a free assessment, see if I can help you. And I coached him for 2 years. So 2 years. But through that, all these things started happening. Then we had this idea. And by coincidence, right, this ends up to be, I had to open an office in New York. So many people over the last 3 years have said, oh, Dave, I want to partner with you. He never asked me to partner. I actually asked him because of the coincidences that occurred. So all the people that were trying to partner with me for a purpose, they didn't get what they wanted. It was more allowing things to happen. So trust it, though. That was this exact example I just explained. When you, and it's not that you're not looking, right? You're paying attention and putting intention into what you want, but you're allowing the coincidence to happen, not controlling it or forcing it to happen. So many things are counterintuitive, right? And that is one of the nuances of counterintuitiveness I know, is like, how are you like such a go-getter, but you allow, it's the ferocious Buddha again, right? I'm ferocious about making room for what I want and then allowing it to come. So that's another good analogy, right? Get ferocious about making room for what you want and then allowing it to come, and the more faith that you have that it's going to be there. And one of the other things about the faith side of things is, don't put an expectation of what it looks like. You know, when we perceive things as negative, you know, I practice every day ending fear to understand that, you know, certain things happen that are not what I expected to happen. And I would immediately in the past say, oh, you know, so bad, right? This is, oh, I'm this negative, that deal didn't happen. That person, I couldn't hire them, or I didn't get this job, and they end up being the best things in my life. I'm nobody was more discouraged getting rejected by Stanford Law School than me. Cause I thought, literally that was my force goal. I didn't get in undergrad and realize that I really wasn't up to snuff to get into Stanford. And so in college, I worked super hard to be Stanford ready, right? My brothers all got in to Stanford, purposely didn't go there just to mess with me to say like, dude, this is my second choice. I didn't even go there, you know. They went back east. When I got rejected, I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And I can't tell you how many people like coach that will say, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. That's kind of how I felt at, you know, 22 graduating college after working so hard to get into that school. Well, meanwhile, I would never go there over where I went to law school. I speak there, right? Those kids learn from me now. And when I extract time from the equation, I'm so blessed that they rejected me. Not negative, but at the time it was. That's a classic example. So many people, they're stuck into not understanding. I fight practicing ending fear and pushing myself when negative things happen. I'm like, oh, good, right? It's a course correction of the universe. I trust it. This is a course. What'd they just save me from? Something better is coming. I'm a special visitor from Columbia University. How are you? Thanks for coming. Yes. Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.